The Warriors and Nuggets squaring off in a Tuesday night showdown at Oracle Arena, and Kevin Durant powering the attack from the jump, finishing with 21 points in 21 minutes before a third quarter ejection as DeMarcus Cousins, a force to be reckoned with throughout, with a game-high 28 points and 12 rebounds. Stephen Curry in this game passing Chris Mullin for fourth on the team's all-time scoring list while delivering 17 points. Klay Thompson added 13 points to the mix, while Draymond Green, 9 boards and 9 assists to go with 6 points as the Warriors take it. 116-102, the final.
I love the energy right away. And DeMarcus was fantastic. He's really playing at a high level for us. Kevin was brilliant before the ejection. So it was just a really good night against a really good team.
Steve, what was your view on everything leading up to Kevin's ejection?
I thought he deserved the first technical. I didn't think he deserved the second one. I was very surprised. I watched the whole thing. I didn't think he deserved to be ejected. But, I think Zach Sarba is one of the best officials in the game. And I've got no complaints with Zach. He knows what he's doing. He's a fantastic official. It was just surprising, and I never really did get an explanation. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but we move on.
Steve, what do a couple jarring dunks like that right before halftime do for momentum for you guys going in the locker room and just to
jarring,
jaw dropping, whatever you want to call them, those two dunks.
Oh, the dunks,
Kevin,
yeah.
Before.
Yeah, it was the energy in the crowd at that point was incredible, and when he attacked like that and hammered those two dunks down, it was you could feel the power in the arena. You could feel our home crowd. You could feel the energy of our players, and those two plays kind of broke the game open and gave us a lot of life, and I thought he was, as I said, I thought Kevin was tremendous tonight. It's unfortunate he didn't get to play more.
Steve, kind of following up with that, Kevin looked pretty locked in defensively as well. He had a pair of blocks in the first quarter, specifically one on Gary Harris off that fast break layup. But what did you see on that play, and what did you like about Kevin's defensive engagement tonight?
Just his energy at both ends. He was locked in. And the block was a great play. He made several plays like that, just hustle plays, totally engaged. Can't say much more about him.
Jim Barnett is downstairs with a headset on. He's going to talk about tonight's game. And, JB, this game had a playoff feel to it from the opening tip.
It certainly did. Things didn't go the right way for the Warriors. They made a nice defensive stop at the first, but they couldn't get rebounds, and they were getting killed on the boards inside there. And all of a sudden, they were down by 7 early in the first quarter. And at the 2.5-minute mark in that first quarter, it was all tied up 24-all. The Warriors scored the last 6 points of the quarter, never looked back to him. They got really tough, and they dominated. And I thought the key matchup going into tonight would be Cousins against Jokic, and it played out that way. And DeMarcus, a season high in points, but he can be physical with Jokic, and it looked like Jokic didn't want any part of it.
Yeah, for the second time in a row, I thought DeMarcus dominated that matchup.
Yes.
And Jim, the other matchup that I was looking at, because I just thought was a real mismatch for Denver, was the fact that they had to try to guard Kevin Durant with Will Barton. And I think that unless Barton puts ball pressure on KD, that KD is going to get to wherever he wants to go on him.
Barton can give Curry some trouble because he's long and he's quick. And when KD got ejected, that happened. It bottled up Curry for a little while. But you're exactly right. Barton's a good defender. He's lithe. He's fast. He's quick. But he's not as long as Kevin Durant.
Nope.
And Kevin Durant essentially, before he got ejected, he had 21 points and in less than 22 minutes. So he was brilliant. In games past, he's 5 of 5 against Charlotte. He's 12 of 13 against Memphis. He takes 6 shots against Detroit and makes 5. And we're wondering, gee, I wonder why he's not shooting the ball. Well, tonight he rose to the occasion. At halftime, he already had 17. He'd already taken 10 shots, and he was on. I'll tell you what, he saved his best. He was absolutely brilliant tonight. At both ends of the floor, by the way, a couple block shots.
Oh, I think the Warriors were very good on the defensive end.
They would
finish with 11 blocks tonight and just took away any thought that Denver had that they were going to win that game with a late second quarter into early third run. And, Jim, I think unless something happens that we cannot forecast, the Warriors will have home court for the entire Western Conference. And I think that's going to be huge for them because, you know, if you're a team, just to say arguments, you're the Houston Rockets who are playing great basketball right now. Well, if they get into a seven-game series with the Warriors, well, this year, Game 7 will be here, and that's going to be a big difference for them.
Well, without question. And they play this kind of defense. They did play playoff defense tonight. That's the key. You hold that team to 38%, make it difficult shooting threes. And this is when, you know, at halftime they were dominating, and the Warriors were 6 of 18 from 3 at halftime, and the Nuggets were 3 of 17. So many good things. And how about the rebounding advantage? They absolutely killed them on the boards the last three quarters.
No doubt. And Denver had 11 offensive rebounds tonight, and they only had, what, three more shots?
Yeah, but yes, and they had five of them, I think, in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. So they shut them down after that first quarter. But you're right about the home court advantage. And you look at these, what's going on, you know, when you look at the standings, Portland is still in the hunt to move up as well. Houston's been on a roll. Denver, what I'm saying is Denver may not finish second, Tim. They played Portland twice.
And yep.
Coming into tonight,
and they've got San Antonio tomorrow night. So they have the West Coast to Denver back-to-back.
Right.
And then they have to play Portland at home and then go to Portland and Utah.
Well, they could end up, they were here, you know, vying for first place in the West, and they could end up being passed by Portland and Houston, and they could finish fourth. They could finish fourth. It's feasible.
And then that would put them, what, in the Warriors bracket then?
That is correct. And they'd play 4 and 5, exactly.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see. The West is still, there's a lot of stories left to be told in that Western Conference playoff race. Before I let you go.
You know what, Tim? They could finish fifth.
They could.
They could finish fifth. I'm just looking at this. Wow. Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen? I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir.
That's right. Before I let you go, let's talk for a moment about Stephen Curry, because you were here for the entire run of Chris Mullin. I got here toward the end of his Warrior tenure.
Yeah.
But I was in the league when he was going great guns with Run TMC and all that. But to have Steph Curry at age 31, pass him in scoring, it's just remarkable.
Yeah, and in a few weeks he's going to go even another jump, and he'll be at number 3.
Yep, passing Paul Arizin.
Yeah, Paul Arizin.
Wow. For people that may not understand, these are like legendary basketball players that he is passing.
Yeah, yes.
You know, he's going into really high company here.
No, it's no question about it, and he's still got a few years left. And I told him before the game that with another 400 points, he will have doubled my NBA output.
I'm sure that was high on his
he
priority
list. He thought it was pretty funny, Tim. I was talking about it with one of our PR guys, and I didn't think he was listening. But he was over there. So he started chuckling, and then I realized what he'd said. Yeah, I said, yeah, if he hit another 400 points, he'll double my output.
It just goes back to what we were talking about before, I think maybe a week or so ago.
Yeah.
And you know, when I got to the Warriors, my standard joke was I don't look up anything in the record book because it all says Wilt, you know,
yes.
Wilt or Rick
yes.
Barry,
yes.
You know. But now Stephen Curry is rewriting the Warriors record book, and
yes.
I never thought that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But he's doing it, and he's doing it on a yearly, monthly, daily basis.
Yeah, he's remarkable. And you know what? His value to the team, it exceeds what he does on the floor and how it's how he does it, and it's who he is. And the kind of leadership, the quiet leadership, the demonstrative leadership once in a while on the floor when he's going on one of those runs, he's just special. He is without question an incredible, valuable player and a valuable entity that you don't realize unless you just see him game in, game out, year in, year out, Tim. And we know his value to this club. And it's just not all – it's more than just the numbers.
Absolutely. He sets the tone for the franchise in a lot of ways.
Yes, he does.
Jim, we'll see you on the plane to Los Angeles.
That's right. I work with you tomorrow night.
Not tomorrow night.
I mean, the day after, okay, we go to
Thursday
L.A. tomorrow.
Night.
Yes, Thursday night.
Thursday night.
I never know what day it is.
I'm working with RC tomorrow night, so Beyond the Arc.
You do it Beyond the Arc, okay.
7 o'clock tomorrow night.
I'll be sure and catch that.
Thank you, Jim.
Now the Warriors hit the road as Thursday night. They will take on the Lakers at Staples Center. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is Warrior Sound.